Galatians chapter 5, and with the Lord's help, we would consider the portion found in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Especially the words in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. God is long-suffering. How long-suffering he was when he bore with the murmuring and complaining of the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. Psalm 95 and verse 10, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. The Lord is long-suffering to sinners of mankind. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, the apostle asks, Lord, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? Yes, God is long-suffering, and we should ask ourselves, what is the impact of his long-suffering upon us? He goes on and says, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God is long-suffering. He is calling upon sinners to repent. He is bearing long with them and daily providing for sinners the sun to rise upon the just and the unjust, as well as the rain to descend upon the same. Bearing long with those who are rebels against him, who are saying, what is the Almighty depart from us, they are saying to God. We desire not the knowledge of thy ways, yet God is bearing long with them. The long-suffering of God. Well, the fact is that though we have lost the image of God by the fall, in great measure, yet in the new birth, the image of God is restored. And of course, that is an ongoing progressive work, the work of sanctification to restore the image of God that was effaced by the fall. And the image of God consisted originally in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And that image is restored by regeneration, the new birth, so that there is a restoration of likeness to God. This is what the Lord Jesus is calling us to be, like God. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, the Lord Jesus says, be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And then in Luke chapter 6 and verse 36, the Lord Jesus says, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Those who are the children of God bear the family likeness. They are like God. And God has made peace between himself and his subjects through the finished work of Christ. He has made a way whereby sinners may be reconciled to God. The work is done. Reconciliation has been effected. Of course, that is for everyone who believes. That is everyone who will come to Christ and be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. The work is finished. The platform of salvation has been erected. God is making himself known in the word as righteousness. And our point is that peace has been made through the blood of the cross. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So God has made peace, and the children of God seek peace as well. And we've already been over that when we endeavor to consider that the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And those who are the children of God are peacemakers. Likewise, those who are the children of God bear the family likeness. They are like God in that they are long-suffering. Which is patiently enduring offense or hardship, especially bearing long with injuries received from others, and forbearing to take revenge in any way. It is not the result of a natural disposition or personality. It is the fruit of the Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, working in the heart, producing this virtue, this grace, which by his own power comes to expression in the life and conduct. The fruits of the Spirit are virtues which are produced in us by the Holy Spirit, which come to expression in the life and outward conduct. As we've said again and again, if there is no root, or rather, if there is no fruit, there is no root. If there is no grace observable in the outward life, then that is the certain evidence there is no grace in the soul. The Lord Jesus said, Matthew 12:33, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Do we bear this fruit? Do we seek that meekness, that patience, when we receive injury from others? It is opposite to that work of the flesh that the apostle sets forth in hatred, variance, wrath, strife, envyings, murders. It is the opposite to a vindictive spirit. When we receive the injury, the wrongdoing from others, for example, some may injure us in our name and spread an evil report about us, whether it's true or false, going around as a talebearer and hurting our good name. And the natural reaction is, how dare such a one do that? I will retaliate, and I may spread an evil report about him. And so when others do things that annoy us, and we may be tempted to vent our unpleasant feelings toward that individual, that's the work of the flesh. That is the opposite to this long-suffering, which is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the object of long-suffering is both God and man. When we exercise long-suffering towards those outside of us, either God may be considered or man. When God deals with us in ways that are contrary to our nature, when he causes us to pass through affliction, we are to exercise long-suffering and patiently bear it. But the context is in our dealings with others. When there are disagreements, when there's division, when others act in ways that are disagreeable to us, the exercise of long-suffering is called for in regard to others. We are to exercise patience and forbearance. And long-suffering is a slowness in avenging wrongs. It is the opposite of a vindictive spirit. When we bear with injuries and forbear, retaliate. Matthew Poole says that long-suffering is opposed to a hastiness to revenge, and it inclines us patiently to bear injuries. It is forbearance. We read about forbearing one another in Colossians chapter 3. Forbearing one another, or bearing with one another. The word forbear is apparently an older, archaic use of the word forbear. It simply means bearing with one another. And of course, forbearing to retaliate, restraining ourselves. The natural reaction is to vent our feelings or to take revenge or go to law and so on and so forth, when usually and more often than not, the duty called for is long-suffering, refraining from taking these courses in order to avenge ourselves or to make right. Well, who are to exercise this grace of long-suffering? Office bearers are to exercise this grace. The Apostle Paul certainly exercised it in the church when on the one hand he had told the Corinthians that he was going to visit them. But then there was a change of purpose. And some of Paul's enemies used this as a mark against him. He's changing his mind. On the one hand, he said he was going to come to Corinth. On the other hand, he's changing his mind and he says that he won't. But Paul explains this change of purpose in 2 Corinthians 1. Where he says in verse 23, for a record upon my soul, that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth. He wanted to spare them. He did not want to fly with them when there was chaos. Out of the breaches of the Ten Commandments and the exercise of discipline, church discipline, would be called for in that case. He wanted to wait and give the Corinthians time to repent. He had written them the epistle that is called the first epistle to the Corinthians. It is the first epistle or letter that is still in existence. He had written another letter. At any rate, he had written this long letter to the church at Corinth to point out their sins and their errors. He wanted to give them space to repent. He was going to exercise long suffering toward them. To spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth. And so it was the grace or the fruit of the Spirit that Paul exercised as an office bearer, as an apostle to the church at Corinth. And of course, office bearers in the church are to exercise this grace in many cases in the church. Parents are to exercise the grace of long-suffering. As we have in Psalm 103 at verse 13, the Lord pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. And it is in that psalm that we read and sing that the Lord is long-suffering. And he is long-suffering just as a parent would be to his child. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame. Fathers are exhorted not to provoke their children to wrath, by private individuals. Everyone is to exercise this grace. Of course, we need the Holy Spirit. And we all need to repent, and we can only repent by the grace of the Spirit. Long-suffering is a duty for us all. And we should remember that the reasons of that individuals, inferiors towards superiors, superiors towards inferiors, and equals should exercise this grace in order to establish peace. Peace in the church, peace in the home. To exercise this disposition, this forbearance, is one way to avoid misunderstanding. For example, if there's a disagreement between two individuals, or if there is an ongoing annoyance received one from another, and the one may feel like speaking, to eliminate this opposition, this animosity, is likely to happen as a result of this exchange? Will it cause a misunderstanding? Will a rumor develop that there was a fault? And was received by the one to begin with. And especially when it is an inferior, a superior, for example, a student with a tutor, and there is this opposition or this annoyance received, the clearer route would be to exercise long suffering. And in any case, our rights. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "Rather suffer wrong," he says. Reverend Keith Watkins in Kenya, that when someone is at a shop and someone comes along and steals, spirit, and even when it comes to asserting our rights, very often we should. Unpleasant, not severe. But a sense of duty and for the good of that individual. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Now, what is the special key to this grace that is to be exercised? It is as made peace by sending his Son to save sinners. Forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel. So when there's a quarrel, when there is a disagreement, when there is opposition, animosity, that is like to take is forgiveness. And the pattern to follow is the Lord Himself. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So we are to follow God in this way, long-suffering. And in order to truly exercise the grace of long-suffering, there must be this forgiveness towards others. How else can we expect our own sins to be forgiven unless we have a disposition, an inclination to forgive others? No, our forgiving others does not merit forgiveness. We cannot think that because we forgive others, therefore our way to heaven, and God will therefore forgive others. But it is evidence. Our forgiving others is the evidence that God has forgiven us. Those whom God forgives, He also gives the grace to forgive others. This is what we are taught to pray by the Lord Himself in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And the Shorter Catechism explains what this means, which is, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. God, for Christ, we pardon all our sins, which we are not encouraged to ask, because by His grace we are enabled from the heart to forgive others. So we are emboldened, we are encouraged with expectation that our sins will be forgiven, because we are enabled by grace from the heart to forgive others. Well, forgiveness is one aid to long-suffering. How often should we? To what extent are we to exercise the grace of long-suffering? In Matthew chapter 18, we are told, and this is what this is a question that Peter asks. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21. Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? The Lord Jesus replies, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. The answer is continually, again and again. There is no end to long suffering. Again and again, for such a long time. Not as if after this long period, then you can stop being forgiving. No. Long suffering is to be exercised continually, even when it does come to an end, when we have to assert our right and defend ourselves, still long-suffering will be there, the opposite of a vindictive spirit. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about charity or love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Well, what are the means to exercise the grace of long-suffering? What are the motives? What are the means? What are the encouragements to help us exercise this grace? Well, we need watchfulness, first of all. We need to realize that there will be occasions in which the grace of long-suffering must be exercised. And this will perfect felicity. There will be no need to exercise long-suffering then. Now is the time for grace to shine. Now is the time for this grace of long-suffering to come forth. And when we realize that, trials for our good. Even the failings and the sins of others are ordered by God's providence, and nothing takes place by chance. And so when something happens, something goes wrong, largely the fault of another, we are not to be surprised, but realize that God in His providence has ordered it to be so, and therefore we should take it all the more readily, patiently. Because the grace of long-suffering implies that just the very thing that is contrary to our nature, God has bidden him so. But further, when we think about the evil of sin and the fact that the Lord Jesus was crucified because of sin, we should think to ourselves, thank you. for those sins that brought the wrath of heaven upon our Savior. Looking to Christ crucified is the way in which we will receive the Spirit, that we might bear this fruit. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Receive the promise of the Spirit through faith in Christ made a curse for us. Looking to Him, trusting in Him, believing in Him who died on the cross and bore the sin of many, endured the wrath of God. Come to expression in the life, in our dealings with others, there will be this forbearing to retaliate. We have the perfect pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was long-suffering as He was. When He endured the malice and reproach of men, they called Him a Sabbath breaker, a gluttonous man, a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. They falsely accused Him. They sought to destroy Him. And He bore with all patiently and meekly. We read in 1 Peter chapter 2. About this long-suffering of the Lord Jesus, who His own self bare our sins in His own body. He was bearing the sin of many. And when He suffered, we read, verse 23, He threatened not. When He was suffering on the cross, He did not call down fire from heaven to destroy them. No, He called upon His Father to forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here is the perfect example. Here is the source. The Lord Jesus is the source of strength that we might bear this fruit of the Spirit. Toward us. Do we know that the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance? It should. This is the intended consequence. God's intention, if we may use the word that way. The design of God's goodness to us, the intended impact, is that we should repent. God is exercising long-suffering toward us. Not believed in Christ and not repented. Have an example in Scripture. Not an excuse, but an example. Yes, you, friend, have gone year after year and not obeyed God. And yet God, from your birth to the present, has been forbearing to punish your adversaries. He's exercised long suffering toward you. But there is still hope, because there was hope for Saul of Tarsus, who persecuted the church. And he says in 1 Timothy 1, save him, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all things. worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save you. I am chief. The Lord is long-suffering. He is still holding out the offer of mercy to you, friend, tonight. He is standing and he is knocking at the door of your heart. Will you receive him or reject him? Friend, receive him. Open up to him. On Christ alone, will bear fruit in likeness to God, suffering. May the Lord bless his word.